This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News Time on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Conan. We'll have an update from Tyler Donaldson and Whitney Pittman as well. Another cold day is on tap with highs generally expected in the mid-20s to low 30s. Many areas in the northern plains and upper Midwest are in the single digits as we speak this morning. According to NDON, the coldest spot this morning, right now 10 below zero at Tioga in northwestern North Dakota. There will be a gradual warming as we approach the weekend with a small chance of snow tomorrow night and into the weekend. There's a better chance of rain and snow by Easter Sunday.
The average industry estimate is out for tomorrow's USDA prospective plantings report. Analysts are forecasting corn acreage at 91.1 million acres, soybeans at 85.5. If realized, corn acreage would be down 3% from last year. Soybean acreage expected to increase 3.5%. Higher input costs for corn are being blamed for the swing in acreage.
The grain markets are continuing to focus on the quarterly stocks and the planting intentions report. Comstock Investments market analyst Joe Camp says the market is marking time.
If you factor in what's, you know, more bullish or bearish, I think there is some negativity surrounding weather in general. We've had these recent storms, some moisture across a lot of the country here. And it's much needed, of course, in so many areas. And the same could be said for some rain developing over Brazil here as of late to help with that safrinha corn crop. And then actually some rain shutting off in Argentina where some areas had turned excessively wet. So overall, weather a bit of a negative, not much in the way of new demand data. And so a little bit lower as we look ahead towards Thursday.
Basis bids at the regional grain elevators followed by the Red River Farm Network mostly unchanged from a week ago. Corn basis ranging from 13 to 50 cents under the May futures. Corn cash corn prices ranging from 388 to 405 a bushel in the north to 425 per bushel at Worthington. Cash soybean bids ranging from 10.83 at Minot to 11.22 in Worthington, which is 81 to 120 under the May futures. Spring wheat basis bids ranging from 10 cents under the May at Yulin, Minnesota, to 65 under the May at Grebner, South Dakota. Spring wheat basis, spring wheat prices ranging from 6.05 to 6.45 per bushel.
The Port of Baltimore will remain closed while rescue crews work to find people and clear debris following the Tuesday bridge collapse. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has more.
Soy Transportation Coalition Executive Director Mike Steenhook says the impact of this tragedy may be long-lasting and widespread.
It's obviously a real concern due to the potential loss of human life, but then, you know, the impact more broadly on that community and the overall economy is going to be quite significant. Our oceans are very expansive. They're very vast. But, you know, those ocean vessels that really allow the global economy, including the U.S. economy, to operate, they all eventually concentrate at particular ports. And whether that cargo is originates from those ports or destined for those ports, there are very much these gateways and launching points for the U.S. onto the global economy. And the Port of Baltimore is one of those.
The Port of Baltimore is a major hub for wheeled farm vehicles and was responsible for exporting over $80 billion of cargo while importing over $52 billion worth of goods in 2023. The port will likely be shut down for months.
And so when you have a tragedy and a major disruption like at Baltimore, it's going to have a real ripple effect throughout the broader economy. For agriculture, Baltimore is not one of the key export regions for soybeans and grains, or for other agricultural commodities for that matter. Baltimore is one of the leading port facilities for the importation and the export of automobiles and light trucks. So obviously that's going to be a real impact for it. So while the impact on agriculture is not going to be as seismic, it is a huge issue.
Steenhook says this is a tragic reminder of the importance of maintaining, investing in, and securing ports around the country. Reporting agriculture's business, I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
European Union ag ministers meeting in Brussels. French and Polish leaders are seeking limits on Ukrainian farm imports to prevent weakening of EU agricultural markets. Without change, these ag ministers believe public support for Ukraine will decline. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Shares of American Crystal Sugar Beet Company stock hit all-time record highs at $6,000 per share during the week ending March 22nd. 103 beet shares sold with that high of $6,000 with a low of $5,957 per share. Acres and Shares owner Jason Menke says the entire trading session pushed higher.
Really, if we look at the trading season, had really nice volume from all three brokers in January. There was roughly 1,000 shares that were brokered around that $5,400 mark. Since that time, the market supplies really dried up, and we've just seen prices, trend up gradually up to the $6,000 mark.
Menke says the sugar beet economy has been a big driver in the beet share price.
American Crystal is coming off of the 2022 and 2023 beet payments were at record levels. So that's been a spark. If you look at this year, the other commodity prices have maybe rebounded a little bit quicker than sugar. The other thing that I think is fair to throw out there is to some degree, it's kind of mirroring, land values as well. We're seeing, continued new highs with farmland values.
EverAg principal Mike North does not expect the high path avian influenza cases in dairy cattle to have a lasting effect on the dairy industry.
As you start to walk that through and do the numbers, we're looking at this maybe impacting milk production by 1 to 1.5%. And over some period of time. So it's not going to be this grand lightning bolt. It's not going to be like the story that you picked up on, this morning about the large chicken flock that was euthanized in Ohio. We're not going to see that kind of story come up in the dairy industry.
However, North does expect some production cuts from the disease.
It will take away a little bit of production, and that just adds to the short supply story that the dairy industry has had to tell now for almost a year. And so as we look at this, there will be a point here too where the supply story will, like we've seen in beef, be able to be told, but it's still standing in the shadow of demand.
A bill has been laid over for consideration later in the legislative session in St. Paul, which would provide grants for manure storage in the karst region of southeastern Minnesota. Vadnais Heights Senator Heather Gustafson authored that legislation.
Nitrate pollution continues to be a threat in Minnesota water quality, especially in southeastern Minnesota, where nitrate levels frequently exceed federal and state drinking standards. SF3527 would create a grant program to help address nitrate groundwater contamination and the fish kills occurring within the state. Grants would be provided to a small, mid-sized farming operations with fewer than 1,000 animals.
Gustafson said the smaller farms are targeted for this cost share assistance because larger farms are already required to have 9 months of manure storage as part of the permitting process. Senator Steve Green said appropriations are open in this bill. The Fosted lawmaker is upset with the lack of transparency.
I just don't seem to see anything coming out of it, and that's a frustrating thing for me. I don't get breakdowns. I don't even get breakdowns from the MPCA the way I used to as far as water quality, and it's kind of got me in the dark, and so I get frustrated with that.
Coalition of six national agriculture and biofuel groups has sent another letter to EPA Administrator Michael Regan reviewing their call for an emergency waiver for summer sales of E15. Ongoing conflicts with Russia and Ukraine and the Middle East are being cited as a threat to America's energy security. The letter was signed by Farm Bureau, Farmers Union, National Corn Growers Association, National Sorghum Producers, Growth Energy, and the Renewable Fuels Association.
USDA is taking action to assist livestock producers impacted by the recent wildfires in Texas, Oklahoma, and Nebraska. To provide 4-H to these farmers and ranchers, the Ag Department has authorized the release of emergency hay and grazing of Conservation Reserve Program land nationwide. Quick reminder, the Red River Farm Network celebrating women in agriculture during this month of March, a series we're calling Agriculture. You can see those interviews on the Red River Farm Network YouTube channel and our website. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. EPA has released its draft formaldehyde risk evaluation this month, finding that it poses an unreasonable risk to human health. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
The American Feed Industry Association is concerned the agency is ignoring up to 40 years of science to create unreasonable levels. Director of Feed Manufacturing and Regulatory Affairs Gary Huddleston says formaldehyde is a vital feed additive.
It's a very effective way to control pathogens in feed, things like salmonella, E. coli, and it prevents those pathogens from getting into the animal and then eventually getting into the human food supply. And so it's just a very effective tool that we've used very, very safely for years and years.
Huddleston says that restrictions would be redundant and frustrating since formaldehyde already has strict safety standards. Despite OSHA standards, the risk assessment out of the EPA could lead to industry damaging changes.
It's in a tank, it's metered, it's completely controlled by the computerized batching systems that we utilize in our feed mills today. And so it's no employees ever touch it. The exposure level that EPA is going to try to set is going to be so far below that it's going to be impossible to manufacture any longer. Half of the American population would be illegal just breathing out because we have, formaldehyde's a naturally occurring thing in our body. So we would just be above EPA standard just from breathing.
Huddleston points out that should a ban take place, companies would then have to find alternative methods to dealing with issues like salmonella.
And in a lot of production systems, there's no better method than formaldehyde. One of the things that formaldehyde does, it kills the virus, but it also kills the salmonella, but it also keeps it, the feed salmonella free for 21 days. And that's plenty long enough for the feed to get through the animal. And so we don't have any recontamination of salmonella.
That was American Feed Industry Association Director of Feed Manufacturing and Regulatory Affairs Gary Huddleston. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Due to the drought, Mexico is unable to import large supplies of sugar into the United States. Mexico reportedly has no sugar surplus and will not reach the current export limit of nearly 900,000 short tons raw value. As we check markets this morning, Minneapolis wheat, the May contract, 0.75 cents lower at 646.5. The September contract gains a penny. Chicago wheat for May down 1.75. Hard red winter wheat down 2.75. May corn down 4.5 at 428. The new crop contract for corn down 4.5 cents. May soybeans 5.75 lower, 1193.25. And the November contract on soybeans down by 4.75 cents. Checking the farm calendar, the NDSU planter test stand schedule continuing. They're in Angus at the Strobel Farm Shop today, as well as the Askegard Shop in Comstock. They'll be in Cavalier Equipment coming up tomorrow. NDSU Extension hosting a discussion on grazing technologies. That session tomorrow afternoon, that'll be held at the Eagles Club in Valley City. And the Minnesota Buffalo Association has a spring conference coming up April 5th to the 7th in Devil's Lake. Have a good one. This is the Red River Farm Network.